This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cleveland and Draymond can have a rest. But if we play lackadaisical to start, we get down 20, 15, 16, you got to do so much to come back. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Filmo, it is unreal how close Gucci Man, the referee, looks like Gucci Man, the rapper, with the ice cream tattoo underneath the eyeball.
James Williams.
It's unreal. They look like brothers.
He looks dead old him. He had a lot of horrible, and this is another thing. I've seen this. No, honestly, real talk, let me get this off. The refs, I've seen this. They'll go to review when it's against the. I don't want to sound like a homer, but when it's against the Warriors, they'll be like, "Oh, well, this person fouled him," and I was like, "Well, we're talking about this call, not the foul." And it happens the reverse when it goes against the. I kid you not. I don't know what the hell it is.
I know.
But it seems like the refs really has it against the Warriors. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to bring it up, but it's spooky weird.
I'm with you.
Ask Filmo Mike. That's the voice of our open right there. Filmo freaking Mike. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Final hour of the Morning Roast with Spadoni and Shasta. You're going to be joined by Jason Richardson, and we got him as he joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Joe Shasky, isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Jason Richardson, just one of the greatest dunkers in the history of the sport, Warriors legend. And, you know, we've been telling you about this great event, Shasky, about at the Warfield this weekend for the last couple weeks now. It's the Celebrity Pickleball Bash. Tons of celebrities, including T.O., Molly, Brandi Chastain, Fezzi Fell. Fessus Azili was on earlier with us. He was on with Stein and Goo yesterday, too. For your tickets, go to celebritypickleballbash.com right now to go take part in this. And, Jason, I see you and Baron Davis are coaching the team competition against Run TMC. As we look at your roster, you got T.O., you got Brandi Chastain, you got Uriah Faber, shot the UFC Hall of Famer, Lachelle Sprewell, also could have been in the UFC, and others. You ready to take Baron down, Jay Rich? What's up, man?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be a part of this opportunity in pickleball. I became a pickleball fan once I played the sport. It's unbelievable. I play with my kids and my wife all the time. So now I get the coach and try to get a victory this weekend.
Let's go. Hey, obviously we got the All-Star game this weekend, and there's so much that's been happening in the NBA. I'm sure you're well aware of. Luka Doncic is now a Laker. De'Aaron Fox is now a San Antonio Spur. Anthony Davis is a Dallas Maverick. Oh, and Jimmy Butler, yeah, this guy, who was in Miami and definitely suspended, is now a Golden State Warrior. What did you make of all the craziness in the NBA that took place in the last 2 weeks, and obviously culminating with Jimmy Butler now being a Golden State Warrior?
Well, when it's all said and done, you still realize that basketball is a business. The NBA is still a business. And, you know, anybody can get traded at any moment. Teams are always trying to make moves to make their roster better to try to win a championship. You know, right now, you got still knock off the champs. That's Boston. You know, they still pretty much got their roster intact. Probably second up is Denver Nuggets, and everybody else is just fighting to try to get in those spots. So when you see those type of trades, like a Luka trade for Anthony Davis or Jimmy Butler coming from Miami to Golden State, these are all teams that are just trying to position themselves to get the best odds and trying to help themselves propel to win the championship.
Yeah. This All-Star weekend, like, Jay Rich, there was you're one of a lot of my boys' favorite players because of what you meant for the team, the organization at that particular time. There was, like, the Depression-era Warriors. And, like, All-Star weekend was basically our playoffs. And you were our guy. I'm being real. Like, you were our guy. I'll never forget when you threw the ball off Boozer's face. It was just an all-time moment. Is Boozer mad to this day that you did that? And you hit the three.
No, it's not. Actually, our kids played basketball together. My two sons played at Columbus, where his two sons are starting at. There was no disrespect on that. That was just what people didn't understand back in, you know, early 2000. That was a street ball move, you know, a street ball and one mixtape. That was a big thing. They had the move was called off the hits. It was no disrespect to Booze. Booze was my brother. I'd known him since high school. We were McDonald's All-Americans together. We played on the USA 2019 under together. He was a little mad for me for a little bit, but we're good. We golf buddies now. We go golf and we talk about our kids. We cheer our kids on when they're playing games. So there's no bad blood between us.
No, I love that. I love that. You know, you win the back-to-back dunk competitions, and you were such a, like, it reminded me of Dominique because you were a great two-foot jumper. Like, there's different kinds of dunkers. And I think you got robbed the following year after the two in a row. You had a first-round dunk between the legs off the backboard prior that was all-time. I don't know. What's your favorite of all the dunks that you did, because that might be my favorite one of all time?
Yeah, that was cool dunk. Actually, that dunk in that third dunk contest off the backboard, that was supposed to be my final dunk, but things happened. I couldn't make the 360 between the legs, and I had to pull that out. So I didn't really have a real dunk for the last dunk, so I kind of had to pull that one out. But I think my favorite dunk is in the second one, the last one, reverse between the legs. Just the reaction coming down, seeing my peers running on the court, rewatching the highlights and hearing Kenny Smith saying the dunk contest is back. He's seen something he'd never seen before. So that's probably my favorite dunk I've done.
Talking to Jason Richardson here, former dunk champ 02 and 03, runner-up in 04, should have been three times in a row, as you just heard from Joe Shasky. And Jason, you know, we have the All-Star game here in the Bay. We have the skills challenge. We have the celebrity thing. We have all of that going on. But the dunk contest used to be the thing.
The
rite of passage. We used to think of, obviously, when it was at Oracle last time it was here, Vince Carter.
Yep.
Right? You think of that. It's over. It's over. Everyone's seen the meme, right, of Vince Carter, this, that, and the other. One of the great dunkers of all time, like yourself. What happened? Why is it that the dunk contest I'm seeing, and no disrespect to these guys, why am I seeing G League players and I'm not seeing, you know, the All-Stars that are going to be playing on Sunday participate anymore? What's happened?
Well, what will happen is it just get to the point where, you know, anything physically you could do during a dunk contest is almost getting impossible now because everybody has seen everything. Especially now you got these YouTube dunkers out there. These guys are incredible dunkers. They coming up with stuff that is just amazing. And, you know, the fans want to see NBA players do that. But I think what we don't realize is, you know, most fans don't realize, NBA players are not just dunking all day, every day. They're not working on dunks. They're working on a game. They try to win games. And so we kind of got a lot of guys that, you know, don't really work on a dunk contest. I didn't work on a dunk contest when I was doing it. So it become a thing that we already seen this before. And it got a little bit stale. But I think this year dunk contest is going to be really good. Mac, of course, going for the three-peat. I think it'll be the first time ever for three-peat. A big fan of Andre Jackson. I think he's really good. Been watching that kid since he was in high school. I think Matas is going to surprise some people with his athleticism. And then I think the sleeper is Stephen Castle. So I think this dunk contest is going to be really good. I think these guys will bring a lot of energy. I think it's going to be some dunks that, you know, some people have seen before, but it's going to have a different twist to those guys, and they're going to make it their own.
And speaking of dunks, we have the call right here, Jay Rich. 2003, your game-winning dunk right here. Not game-winning, but event-winning dunk in 03. Let's take a listen.
This kid has to jump off 2 feet also.
Doc Rivers, first and foremost, already losing his voice through the call. Jay Rich, I mean, you just think back to those moments and what they meant to you. And do you feel some type of way that, like, the three-point shot has kind of, like, taken over the dunk as the cool thing? All the kids want to be Curry, right? Everyone wants to be Steph. They want to be Kyrie. They want to be Dame. Do you feel some type of way about that?
No, that just showed the evolution of the game. Because, you know, to do the dunks that, you know, myself, Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, Dominique Wilkins, some of these guys are doing, you can't do those dunks. Even if the rim was lower, you still probably couldn't do those dunks. But I think when Steph came in, he became such a phenomenal shooter like he always was and elevated to one of the greatest shooters ever. You know, the average kid could look like, hey, I could shoot the ball. And so that just showed the evolution of the game. There's no hard feeling that the dunk been replaced by the three-pointer. But I do think we still need to have, you know, dunking in games because it still can get the crowd going. It still can get your teammates going. And this is still an exciting play of basketball.
All right, speaking of evolution, if I would have told 2006, 2007 Jason Richardson that Baron Davis would be doing a podcast that is wildly successful with Draymond Green, of all people, and that Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson would be the darlings of the media with their own podcast, I mean, my head is exploding thinking about, like, what they were, you know, back then as players and how they were perceived and how they're perceived now. Does that blow you away?
It doesn't blow me away if you really think about it because, you know, Baron and Draymond, they're very outspoken guys. They've always been the life of the party. Anywhere they go, they always spoke their mind. They always were approachable by fans, by media, by their fellow peers. So that doesn't surprise me on that spot. And then the same thing with Madden and Stack. As teammates, you just see how animated those guys was and how good they used to tell stories when, you know, things happened the night before or the game before, what happened at the Palace with Steven Jackson or, you know, Matt when, you know, he's getting traded to a different team. So when I look at all four of those guys, I'm not surprised at the success they're having with their podcast because their personality, they match that type of energy.
Yeah, I didn't even bring up Gilbert Arenas who you played with. And, God, he was like one of the ones that got away from Warrior fans. But how about Mike Dunleavy? Like, you know, he was the son of a coach and his dad was also a GM and you played with him for a long time. Any surprise that he's in the GM role with the Warriors right now?
No, it's not no surprise at all. You know, that's kind of what Mike does. He's always been a smart guy, been very educated, understand basketball, really high basketball IQ, known Mike since high school. Again, another McDonald's All-American together, played on the USA 20 and under team. So we've known each other way back. It's cool to see him in a front office role, controlling the team, helping the team, trying to get back to their winning ways.
Talking to Warrior legend here, Jason Richardson on the River Islands guest line. And Jason, obviously referencing Mike Dunleavy, just made a huge move, obviously, moving on from Andrew Wiggins, trading him to the Miami Heat, trading Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, amongst others, and bringing in Jimmy Butler. Your impression of Jimmy as a Warrior in these three games and your impression overall as just a player, obviously taking the Miami Heat to two different NBA finals, coming up short there, probably a future Hall of Famer, but it had some baggage, wasn't definitely suspended early on this season. Just your thoughts overall as him, the player, and the fit on the Warriors, Jason.
But just watching Jimmy from afar, one thing I always loved about Jimmy is his competitive nature. His ability to compete on both ends of the floor. And I think him being such a competitor and wanting to win is sometimes misunderstood. And I think he get a bad rap for that because when it's all said and done, he really just wants to win basketball games. He wants to play the right way, and he wants to win. And so I think he get a bad rap because he do get a little bit mad about that, stubborn at times, that things are not going how he should. But I kind of had that same personality. If I'm working hard, I want somebody just as working hard just as I am. No matter if I'm the starter team or if I'm the bench player, I want somebody to work to try to achieve the goal of winning. And I think him having that attitude and coming to Golden State, you just bring another person that just want to win. And that Steph and Dre is getting older with the young guys, Kuminga and all those guys. I think they have an opportunity to get better, and maybe next year it might be a little bit too late now to try to get that chemistry to try to push for another championship. But I think, you know, you're going in the right direction by bringing a guy like Jimmy Butler in.
Yeah, you know, I was confident earlier this week to the Troy Murphy and Dunleavy trade for Al Harrington and Stackjack. Not that Dunleavy and Murphy weren't solid players. It was just the team needed like a jolt. And then immediately it felt like Stackjack and Harrington just fit right in to the culture and the whole team kind of assimilated to that. And I felt like this current Warrior team just needed a jolt. You know, we liked Wiggins a lot. They needed to kind of shake it up. Was it harder for you guys to acclimate Stajak and Al Harrington, or was it harder for them to kind of acclimate to what you guys had going back then to the We Believe season?
It wasn't hard at all because, you know, Baron and Steven Jackson, they all, like, always around each other. They always hung out. Matt was always around, so it was like Al was always around. And, you know, you throw me and Monte, we could get in and play with anybody. So it was an easy transition for us because we all pretty much similarly played the right way, the same way. We played fast. We got up and down the court. We shot threes, and we tried to play defense. So it was just putting the right pieces together. And so I think that's what's going on right now with the Warriors. You add a guy like Jimmy Butler, who is a piece that could defend, that he could play fast, he could shoot the ball, he could be a scorer that you need, like, down the stretch where you could throw the ball to him and he's going to get you a basket. So I think it was just the right fit. And when you had those type of right fits, it doesn't take much time, a week or two, to fit in. But I just think at this level right now, just seeing all the teams in the NBA, you know, the Nuggets and the Celtics and the Spurs that have gotten better, Minnesota is good. It's just tough to have that at the mid-season, had a trade and try to compete for a championship.
God, it's crazy. It's going to be coming up on 18 years since We Believe. 18 years. It does not seem like 18 years, but time does go, right?
I just have my 25th anniversary reunion for my college championship, man.
Oh,
I had age in the last week.
The Flintstones, you guys were at Mopee, Mateen Cleaves, yourself. Like,
Izzo.
That team was legendary.
Izzo, yeah.
Man. It was a special, and we had our 25th anniversary last weekend, seeing all my brothers, you know, the majority of them got back. It was just amazing, but to think that was 25 years ago, and then you said the We Believe team was 18 years ago, man, I am really getting old.
Young at heart, though, Jason. And we had a couple of Michigan State Spartans last night, Max Christie, obviously, yeah. Draymond Green playing well yesterday as well. And Jason, just thinking back to that run, right? Like, the Warriors, I don't know if they're going to be primed for a We Believe run. Like, let's say hypothetically they match up against the Thunder in round one. I'm sure the Thunder would not want to see playoff Jimmy and Stephen Curry. They're a young team. They haven't gone to that level yet, but they're still young. They're athletic. They're long. This, that, and the other. What was it about your guys' squad going up against Dirk and that Mavericks team that made it so difficult on them?
Well, I think the first thing what people didn't realize was before we even made the trade for Al and Steven, we used to either play Dallas really close or we'll beat them. And we had a couple of those games. And so when you add a guy like Steven Jackson and Al Harrington, it gave us a dynamic change where we could have different guys and throw different lineups at Dirk. Not to mention, you know, you throw in the fact that Nelly came from Dallas. He had a vindictive with him. He was ready to go at him with, you know, the fallout he had when he was a coach there. And he taught Dirk everything he knows. So he knew all of Dirk moves. So we almost had we had an answer to the test. He knew every Dirk move. You know, when Dirk drive right, somebody be there because he's going to spin back. And we were there every time. If you go back and watch that game, every time Dirk drove right and he spun back, it was somebody there to take the ball from him. So it was kind of having an answer to the test. And then on top of that, we just bonded really together as a team, and it was the rest was history.
Nelly was such a legend. Like, he was just such an OG.
Really was.
For someone that played for him, what stuck out to you? What made him so unique to the players? Because obviously he's a big character. Like, I'm closing my eyes and I'm just thinking about him partying with Willie Nelson and all the fellas that live in Hawaii with him currently. But as a player, what was it about Nelly that everybody gravitated towards?
But he was truly the first player coach I had, and you always wanted to know what's a player coach. He was a guy that, you know, he actually played a game. He understand what the players think and what the players are going through. So it would be days like he knew we were tired, but we still need to be in the gym. And he would come in and he'd have two beers. It'd be the springtime and cigar in his mouth, his little dog following him around. And I'm going to the A's game. You guys run practice. And we like, what? But we knew we had to be in the gym, and we took it serious. I mean, we ran practice by ourselves. Or it's times he just wanted, you know, it was a little bit stagnant in practice. Hey, bigs versus small. What are you talking about, bigs versus small? And you watching, you know, Eric Dampier dribbling the ball up court, and Donald Poirier dribbling the ball up court, and we trying to, you know, they trying to post us up, the guards up. And it was just a different mix of just freezing things out, making things totally different, just getting a refresh, a reset button. And that's what made him so fun to be around and being, you know, being coached by him.
Talking to Jason Richardson here, he's taking a participating, I should say, in the Celebrity Pickleball Bash. He's coaching alongside Baron Davis, and they're coaching up against the Run TMC crew. And a part of his roster alongside Baron Davis, he's got T.O., Brandi Chastain, Uriah Faber, Latrell Sprewell, and many others. Again, go to CelebrityPickleballBash.com right now, Joe Shasky.
You know, the big Luka trade this week shocked the fan base for the Dallas Mavericks. And I'll never forget the day that you got traded for the draft pick that would eventually be Brandon Wright. And it was a heartbreaking moment for a lot of Warrior fans because of what you represented. Like, you were the grit and the soul of the team and the blue-collar nature. And you wanted to be a Warrior when very few guys wanted to be a Warrior. We watched you elevate your game year after year after year. What was it like for you to get notified that you were being traded and go through that process? Because I know for the fans, although a lot of us had never really gotten over it.
Yeah, first of all, it wasn't as big of a trade as Luka. But for me, it was a tough trade. You know, I got drafted to Golden State. I became adopted son of the whole Bay Area. Everything I did on the court was for the fans that, you know, went through all those years of suffering and losing, and guys that they wanted to stay there, and we finally figured it out, got a winning organization, you know, with the We Believe team, and then you get traded. It hurts. You take it personal. But when you realize that, you get a little bit older, and a couple of years later, you realize it's a business. You know, Monte was coming up. He didn't have the big contract. He was a very skilled player. He needed time for him to grow and become the player he was. And, you know, the rest of that, you know, after that, you get, you know, draft stuff, and you draft Clay, you draft Draymond. Now you got a dynasty. So I think everything happened for a reason. But I think one thing about the Bay Area, just every time I come back or every time somebody mention it, it sends a smile on my face because it's so much love. And those fans really appreciated what I did when, you know, those 6 years I was there.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jason,
you're very beloved. Still are.
Absolutely. And we appreciate your time with us today. I mean, Jasky and I just, obviously at our hearts, we're huge NBA fans. So whenever we get to talk to the likes of you, or we talked to Jerry Rice yesterday, yeah, we'll do some name drops. Like, we don't take this stuff for granted. So we really appreciate you coming on with us, and the fact that you're doing the Celebrity Pickleball Bash again this weekend at the Warfield. And yeah, they're going to be putting a pickleball court on stage, Joe Shasky. Great celebs, pro matchups, music, entertainment all mixed in. You know what they're calling it? They're calling it Pickletainment. Sounds like an awesome show to me. Get your tickets now.
Pickletainment.
Pickletainment, Jason. Let's go. Get your tickets
and
now.
And by the way, Baron Davis is going to be DJing, so that's going to be even more fun.
Does he have good music taste? Keep it real.
Yeah, he does. Baron does. He does have good music taste.
Okay, all right. I'm going to take the word for that.
If it's as good as his podcast takes, I'm sure his music takes will be great.
Hey, seriously.
Jason, we appreciate
the time,
man.
Jason.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Great there stuff. He is. That's Jason freaking Richardson, baby. Former dunk champ in 02 and 03. Runner-up in 04. Obviously part of the We Believe. He's an all-time Warriors legend, Joe Shasky. When you think of Jason Richardson, do you go to the dunks or do you go to that We Believe run?
Well,
everything.
First off, I smile.
Well, I think of a player.
I smile because I think about one of my favorite players.
I think of a player that right now would absolutely just flourish. Three-point shot? Are you kidding me? Can get to the lane?
He developed the three-point shot, too, which was a big part. He couldn't dribble early on, and then he learned how to dribble. Then he learned how to dribble with his left hand. And
you think about all that and how it would translate today.
Yeah.
Like, and we're talking about, again, people that can get better. Like, you're thinking of Brandon Podziemski, and I know he's young. It's a sophomore season. We're really hard on him because he's playing with some of these Hall of Fame guys, and we want to get this thing rolling here. But give him some time. Kuminga, it took some time. Moody, it takes some time, but you're starting to see, and again, going back to your silver linings of last night, you're starting to see the young guys, you know, feel themselves a little bit more, and the confidence is getting there, right?
You know, Jay Rich just, man, he embodied everything that was right about, like, the come up. They took him top five overall, and he actually delivered on how good he was going to be and wanted to be a Warrior. Again, I can't express enough. This was the era where everyone wanted out, and he wanted to stay and be a Warrior, and you could tell that the losing really wore on him because he was a winning player in college and in high school. And you probably don't know the whole Flintstones reference that I was referring to.
Yeah, it was Flint,
seven.
Michigan.
Yeah, it was they seven, were all from Flint, Michigan, and they called themselves the Flintstones. It was him, Mo P, Mateen Cleaves, all those guys. And like, this is at the era when college basketball was huge. And so, like, we knew who he was. And Tom Izzo, obviously a legendary coach. And it's just, there was a time, I don't know what the exact stat is, and I could be misremembering it, but at one point, he had the record for most Warrior makes from three without a miss. I don't know if it was six, seven, eight, whatever the number was. And I'm sure Steph and Clay have obliterated that number. But he really was the prototypical 3-and-D with, like, off-the-charts athleticism.
Well, he was great, and I think of those Suns playoff series, too. He had some monster games. I think he had, like, a 40-point game against the Trailblazers in one series. He obviously, the Suns went up against the Lakers, the Kobe Lakers, that won it, that all that year. Was that back in 09? Yeah,
2010? Let me give you an analogy. If he would have stayed his entire career at the Warriors, very Frank Gore-like in that no one would ever say a negative word about you ever again. Because we respect the way you play, the way you conduct yourself. No nonsense. I can't think of one issue on the court, off the court. You know, he never showed his displeasure at, like, the coaching staff or anything like that. Like, I put him in, like, class personified. You know, like, you, when you draft that guy, you're proud that he represents your community and your franchise.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about age and him feeling old, this, that, and the other. I kind of wanted to ask him, like, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like, you were participating in one of these dunk contests when, like, LeBron was making his first All-Star appearance, and he's doing it again this year. Jason Richards is 4 years older than LeBron. It just gives, like, some, you know, when we're talking about all-time legends and Steph and appreciating greatness, that's what we're talking about when it comes to the age factor here. 25 years ago, Michigan State winning it all, and then 18 years ago, We Believe. It just, perspective is the word I'm looking for. It puts everything into perspective. And my, did you like my little joke, by the way, when I said Lachelle Sprewell could have had, you know, UFC, could have had a career there? No one caught that? Well, I thought that was funny.
I chuckled back here about that.
Thank you.
If I told Warrior fans after the We Believe, hey, Al Harrington's going to run a successful pot company, I would always believe that. I wouldn't believe that. Stack Jack and Matt Barnes are going to have one of the most successful media careers that you could possibly have.
Right.
I would not have believed that. You got to remember, Stack Jack was, he wasn't toxic. He was like nuclear.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
Like nuclear man, going back to Superman 4. And then I think about, like, Baron Davis. I could have seen Baron being kind of like a savvy guy on front of a television. He was, like, totally friends with Kate Hudson, and he was into filmmaking, and that was part of why he went to the
Clippers.
He was
dating, like, Laura Dern from Jurassic Park for a while, too, Baron.
Yeah, it's so, like,
celebrity.
But that team, I mean, God. Matt Barnes was just, Matt Barnes and Stack Jack. Stack Jack would literally do the pistols, which you can't do nowadays. I mean, he would throw up the threes, the Captain Jack stuff, the headband. They were sagging like crazy.
I miss the pistol dance.
God, he was just, we would win the game, and then we would try to fight you in the parking lot afterwards. That's kind of like the attitude that team had.
I don't hate it. I like that attitude, actually.
I,
you
love,
know,
that
I missed,
team so much.
I missed the pistol celebration in the end zone when you had, like, 2K or whatever game you were playing, or Madden, when you could spin the ball, and then your player shoots it like he's just, like, keeping it upright. Those are my favorites. By the way,
people forget, Baron Davis could have been an all-time point guard.
Yes.
He kind of ate himself out of the league.
I kind of view Baron Davis, not the same player, but a little bit, how Low Neal would talk about Corey Dillon.
Oh, great call.
He thought Corey Dillon had all the intangibles. He could have been the greatest running back of all time if he wanted to be.
Baron was, when he wanted to be, lockdown defender.
Exactly.
He was
the bubble gum, the beard, the headband.
Don't miss that break, Doug.
So much swag. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by San Francisco International Airport. We're going to put a bow on this conversation and tell you how you could win a trip to Las Vegas.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni.
You're weak, you're out of control, and you become an embarrassment to yourself and everybody else.
And Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know what was on Jimmy Butler's shorts last night. I'm not sure. Was it a Paul Pierce situation? Some might say that. I didn't see a wheelchair. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Some would say Paul Pierce is not recovered from that.
He seems to be doing all right. He's hanging out with Joy Taylor.
You know, Paul Pierce was such a good player. He's wiped away how good he was. He's just, he's like a character of himself.
Him, Keyshawn, and Joy Taylor.
Why are we dumping on Paul Pierce?
Well, we are not dunking on anyone. We were just pointing out that
there's something going viral about Jimmy Butler's shorts.
There's a yellow stain on the back of his shorts that may or may not indicate that he might have, pooped or something. That's what people are saying. That, did he do that?
Poop.
Well, someone will ask him about it, pre and post game, hopefully. That's the question that needs to be asked first and foremost. Maybe it was Gatorade that spilled and he sat on it. Maybe it was the yellow Gatorade from the Super Bowl, Carter. Am I right? Maybe that's what it was.
That's funny, Spadoni.
Thanks, dude. I'm trying to be funny, you know?
Quick update.
Funny looking.
The Jets have informed Aaron Rodgers they're going to go in a different direction.
Didn't we know that?
Now Jeff Darlington's saying it, and so it's official.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN. That's my Jeff Darlington.
If I would have said Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago, I think a lot of Niner fans would be in on it. I say Aaron Rodgers now, and I think the majority of Niner fans are like, I want no part of that.
What if I told you this? We'll get back to the Warriors Mavericks, but we got 20 minutes here. We can talk some Niners. Why not? What if I told you this, Joe Shasky? As reports are coming out that Myles Garrett wants a trade, maybe Max Crosby wants a trade. What if I told you I can get Aaron Rodgers for, let's say, $15 million? He's going to be friendly with this contract this year. $15 million.
You're setting me up.
Aaron
okay,
Rodgers,
where's this going?
And I could trade Brock Purdy for either a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett.
And no other draft capital.
You'll probably end up giving maybe another first.
Oh, if I have to give him another first, then no.
Okay, then you're not doing that.
No. No. But if I could do, like, if you said quarterback, as in Brock Purdy, straight up for Crosby or Myles Garrett, I'm doing that deal. And I don't think a lot of people are, and I get why they wouldn't, because you still have to find a quarterback. But if you told me Brock Purdy or Myles Garrett, and I could have him straight up, I probably would do that deal. And I know that sounds unpopular, but, like, Myles Garrett is one of the one or two best players at his position. I mean, that changes who you are as a defense. You become immediately elite.
Max Crosby's another one. A couple years younger. Doesn't have the hardware, but he's always in the conversation.
He's a great player,
He's in
too.
The conversation everywhere. If he's not
a great player, too.
He's top five every time. Every
if
conversation you have.
And Myles Garrett are in tier one. Crosby and Bosa are in tier two.
Correct.
And you could take one over the other,
exactly.
Fine.
They do
I don't want to argue about
but
it.
But I do appreciate what Crosby does, which I think the 49ers need desperately, would be guy every single play getting after it. Every single play. And what he does, not in the pass game only, he's a great run stopper.
Yeah.
That guy predicts plays. He jumps routes very quickly. He'll get into the backfield. He'll be disruptive. And you know what? He's kind of that irritant.
Yeah.
He's not Draymond per se, but he'll give elbow to Mahomes after a play's over. He'll be edgy in that kind of that old school Raider mentality. That's what he brings, which I think the Niners kind of need a little more nasty.
They need more nasty.
That's what Dre Greenlaw was there for.
100%.
And by the way, Matt Barrow's now saying that he doesn't expect Dre Greenlaw to come back. Or Talanoa Hufanga.
Played 35 snaps last year.
But
even know if he's good anymore.
I feel like that'd be a huge loss if he doesn't come back.
Well, energy-wise, there's no doubt, and tone-setting-wise, there's no doubt. But this team has drafted linebackers pretty well, I mean, like...
They have. I have to give it to them.
Al Shaer, quietly has had a pretty good NFL career for a guy that was an afterthought.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of some of the random other guys that
he was making plays for the Texans, too, against the Chargers.
D. Winters flashed a little last year.
But to your point, I would give them the benefit of the doubt. Kind of like how the Steelers end up always drafting elite wide receivers, but they somehow are always disgruntled because they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Kind of how the Niners do with linebackers. They find a way, which is not an easy thing to do because linebacker is such a in today's NFL, if you don't have a linebacker that can cover and is quick, you're going to get torched.
You're done.
You're just done. You're cooked. Which has kind of made it so funny that Oren Burks is making so many plays for the Philadelphia Eagles in that playoff run.
I'm very fascinated to see what the contract looks like for Brock Purdy. What are the guarantees? How many years? Like, what does it look like? I have no idea. I'm ready for it to drop and for it to come down. You got Kirk Cousins as a free agent. You got Aaron Rodgers as a free agent. You have Sam Darnold, who could conceivably be a free agent.
I think they're going to bring Darnold back a year for the Vikings. I think.
I don't know.
But if I'm Darnold, I wouldn't want to do that, right?
They got Daniel Jones, too. It's a joke. That's a joke.
Yes, his name is Daniel Jones. That is the joke right there.
The problem with the Greenlaw thing is this, is that I think they and I banked on him to come back quicker than they thought this year, and he didn't at all. And they didn't have the infrastructure in place to sign somebody who wanted, like, it was really difficult to sign somebody who was good enough, and also you had to tell that guy, hey, at some point when Greenlaw comes back, you're going to the bench, right? Like, that's hard. And I think it's hard also to draft a guy to be a plug-and-play player when when he was healthy, he was one of the best players at the position in the sport.
Yes, and he gave you something that you desperately needed alongside Fred Warner. Not only was he an emotional lift for Fred, but for the entire defensive unit. Like, just going back to the Super Bowl, I know, old wounds. Are we coming up on the year anniversary? Did I already pass?
Yeah, it did. I got the notification. It was pictures of me and Lubman, and I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah,
you know, you like get Google photos or Apple
photos.
Yeah,
totally. Like, memories. They call it memories.
Last year.
Yeah.
I was pictures of me and Lubman. I was like, ugh.
Well, I mean, your hair took over the photo, and I was just like, God.
It's beautiful hair.
So short back then, too.
Don't be jealous of it. It's beautiful hair. It's beautiful.
Well, I also had a busted beak. I got that injury.
And low-key, one of the highlights of that day.
I know all about busted beaks, brother. There you go.
Lubman, you're a jerk.
Speaking of the biggest things that's happened to the 49ers, Deebo Samuel. Wanting a trade request. Greg Cosell, who joined Willard and Dibbs all season long, did a hell of a job. Our first year, Greg Cosell, loved what he had to say. Breaks down film better than anyone. We had the two best.
Baldy is my number one. Number two.
We had the two breakers of film. You want to do 1A, 1B.
Two breakers of film.
Shout out. You like that? Greg Cosell, he feels the 49ers are likely viewing Deebo as superfluous for them now. Look at that word.
Assuming Ayuk comes back healthy, you're going to have Ayuk, you're going to have Pearsall, you're going to have Jennings. So I think that within the context of how they see their offense moving forward with those three wide receivers, and ideally McCaffrey is back healthy, I guess that remains to be seen, but ideally if all that happens, Samuel would probably be in some way superfluous to what they have right now. And, you know, given that he certainly did not put up the same production this year that he had in previous years, it would not surprise me if they see it that way.
Superfluous, for those of you who don't know, it's an adjective. It means unnecessary, especially through being more than enough.
They really botched the wide receiver thing last offseason.
Are you kidding me? Botched can be fixed. I've watched the show on E! When there's like, you know, have you seen it? Like the botched
plastic
surgery?
Show, no, I don't watch
There's like botched plastic surgery.
I don't
surgery.
Want to see people get hacked open.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I think it's fascinating. But like blood doesn't really make me squeamish seeing that stuff. Like I can eat like a bowl of cereal, like watching like, you know, Save It Private Ryan and House and stuff like that.
Okay.
But that being said, I pulled a guru. I just lost my train of thought. But we were talking about.
A guru would say like. You know, I hate to go Heinz on you, but it's about the ketchup.
No, my favorite is what happens is...
You got to catch up in the standings.
No. Well, what happens sometimes is it's
That's
like...
That's how he does it.
No, because I've seen him do this, and it's really funny.
I don't mean to go Pierre, but it's all about the mustard. We got to go French's.
No, it happens to me because I've lost my train of thought, and doing a solo show is different, Joe. I have to play some sound to get my... And that's a four, by the way, for your guru.
Those are off the cuff.
But he used
I'm in the condiment section somehow in my head.
You hate to go Hawaiian, but you got to bring up the punch. It's an all-timer.
What did he do?
What happened?
He literally did that yesterday with the condiments.
No, he didn't.
I'm not
no
kidding
way.
You. Yeah. Relish, ketchup. I'm not kidding
no
you.
No way he did.
Yeah, I can't. I thought you actually knew that.
No,
you
I
did
didn't.
That.
I swear to God. And trust me, I listened to Steiny and Goo. I didn't catch it yesterday. I was very busy.
Yeah, I was like, that's really good, Chaskew. Well,
wow.
There you go.
How I know Goo. Like,
I think
know.
That was ingrained. He's probably said that 5 or 6 years ago.
Probably.
And then it gets ingrained in your DNA. But going back to superfluous in Deebo Samuel, do you view him as...
I hate to go cashew milk because it's all about almond raw St. Brown. That was like going way too far.
You feel good about yourself with that?
Nah, I'm just going to keep going. Just
feel
keep
about
shoot,
it. Yeah,
shoot,
no, just keep
shoot,
going.
I'm just going to I'm just going to keep
no,
shooting.
No, I'll be stunning the situation. Just keep going.
Yeah, I'll take a playoff. Well, Steiny doesn't have anything, so of course he wants Goo to, you know, just keep going.
Oh, he doesn't have anything today after that loss? Are you kidding me? It's my appointment radio in 17 minutes.
He's got the biggest smile in the building right now.
I've texted Joe Lacob 7 times this morning.
No, Joe Lacob texts him. That's how we'll say it. Joe Lacob texts him.
I bet
him.
He responds to a Joe Lacob text.
Well, would you?
Well, yeah, but Steiny doesn't respond to anyone's texts.
He responds to mine. We live near each other, that's why. He hits me up if he wants to hang out. You know that?
Come pick me up from the bar and eat a ride home.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't call it the library this time.
Oh, who cares?
Superfluous.
Has Deebo out front? He's like,
has
I'll just
Deebo
walk
Samuel, Joe Shasky, has Deebo Samuel become superfluous? Do the 49ers no longer need him?
No, the Niners.
I feel like they desperately need him, actually, but not for that price point.
I think the Niners have done The only guy that they've gotten rid of at the proper timing was probably Trey Lance. Everyone else, they hung on to too long. D Ford. Like, he was hurt. D Ford, Talanoa Hufanga, Eric Armstead was a year too late. Javon Kinlaw was a year too late. Like, they, for whatever reason, have hung on to guys. Debo, I would throw into that category as well. They've hung on to guys almost 1 year too long. They go reverse on you of what the Bill Walsh credo is.
1 year too long. They're going to pay Brock Purdy. Got an aging George Kittle that you want to get extended. Ricky Pearsall, you're going to be counting a lot next season. Dealt with a lot of injuries. But the last couple of games were encouraging. Juwan Jennings, very encouraging. I know what I'm getting between him and Purdy. I need to keep that guy around.
But what am I getting with Christian McCaffrey?
Yes. What am I getting with Christian McCaffrey? Like, you even heard it from Greg Rousseau there. That is what it's like. I don't know. Because if I'm not getting Christian McCaffrey, we saw last year, Brock at times was really good, but at times he was overwhelmed, it seemed like.
And if I told you that CMC is not playing, the guys all behind him all got hurt too.
Yes.
Eli Mitchell, Jordan Mason's going to be a free agent, restricted. And then the young guy, Isaac Arendo, he got hurt too. So like all those guys got hurt. We don't have a guy I really trust right now.
So what you tell me is that they're going to draft another running back in the third or fourth round, is what you're telling me right now. That's just...
I wouldn't be opposed to taking
a running back. Of course, right? Like,
I was the one who said, if the Boise State kid falls to you in the second round, you take him.
Gentry's not falling out of like the top 10 or 15, I don't think.
He's going to the Cowboys.
Probably. That's actually a great call. He's definitely going to the Cowboys now that I think about it. Brian Schottenheimer, new guy there, offensive guy, wants to run the ball. It's a great call, Carter. Between those two, though, as we were talking about it prior, I know the Aaron Rodgers thing. I just wanted to bring it up as we tie into the conversation. The 49ers are going to pay Brock. They're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. It's fun to talk about. Not going to happen.
Could you imagine Shanahan and Aaron Rodgers?
No, because he could have had him. Remember, Matt LaFleur was talking to Shanahan.
No, I'm talking about right now.
Well, no, not right now.
You think Shanahan wants, hey, go do the McAfee show every Tuesday. Leak all our secrets.
Who looks more worn out when you just look at them? Aaron Rodgers or Kyle Shanahan?
Well, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he needs his ayahuasca. What is it called?
Ayahuasca.
The getaway retreat. What does he call it?
The darkness retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just Sixth and Market. You know, you could do that over there.
Going back
to
Chappelle's.
Could you imagine, like, walking into work and there's Aaron Rodgers lying on the ground next to the fentanyl fold? That would be hilarious.
The fentanyl fold? Is that what we're calling it?
Oh, yeah, what's this? The back just was like, boom. That's what they call it. Kids, in about 10 years, there's going to be kids with the messed up neck from the phone, bro. That's coming.
No, our bodies actually, have you seen this? As we're off the rails here with a couple minutes ago.
The Tiger Woods pinky?
No.
You don't know about the Tiger Woods pinky?
No.
Because of the way he gripped the club, this pinky on the right hand is completely distorted because of how he...
Like Baldy?
Yes.
To that level?
Yes. Well, so I think that in about 10 to 20 years, because everyone's heads are down on their phone, our entire neck is going to look more like an ostrich giraffe than it does now.
Evolution doesn't happen that quickly.
We're all going to have the Mike Glennon head. Actually, it does. It does. If you go to Madagascar, these isolated islands, you'd be surprised how quickly evolution happens. Yeah, not in 20 years.
These isolated islands that people have been living on for hundreds of years. It's not going to happen in 20 years.
No, I know not 20, but actually evolution happens a lot quicker than they think.
Okay, yes. I'm not going to have a long neck in 20 years.
I've been studying this.
Have you been studying it or even watching YouTube? Are you doing your own research?
The Mike
Are
Lennon,
you going actually full Aaron Rodgers on me?
The Mike Lennon neck is
me?
Coming.
Okay, the Mike Glennon necks are coming.
Yeah, well, Mike Glennon has the largest neck of all time.
He does.
He does.
No, Davis Mills actually is up
He's
there as
up
well.
He's up there.
Davis Mills.
Takes Takeo Spikes takes the cake.
Who?
Takeo Spikes takes the cake.
His neck is the thickest.
That's a 2x4. What are we talking about?
And actually, Kurt Angle clears both of them.
Exactly.
Because he won an Olympic gold medal with a broken freaking neck, as you know, Joe Shasky. As you know, you love Kurt Angle. Would you rather have Max Crosby or Myles Garrett?
Myles Garrett.
Trade for one. Not even close?
I just think Myles Garrett's the better player.
Crosby's 2 years younger, though.
Okay.
Cost control, a lot different.
Myles Garrett is ridiculous.
Okay.
Also, I just, the Max Crosby thing, you're probably going to have to prepay both guys.
Yes.
I don't know what their evaluations are going
to be. I think Max Crosby would cost you less than Myles Garrett.
Why do you say that?
Well, just if we're re-signing, he did a team-friendly deal with the Raiders early on. He might do that with the Niners, too.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'll take either one of them. Like, I don't want to nitpick their games. I would lean Myles Garrett over him, but, you know. You give me Max Crosby, I'll gladly take him.
Okay, fair enough. We got a couple minutes here before we get to Fast Five. And just this game tonight, it's not a must-win, Joe Shasky, but if Jimmy Butler's going to be suited up, and we'll see if Draymond and Steph plays, I expect Jimmy to play in this game. If he's solo dolo, and meaning no Steph or no Draymond, what are you expecting from one Jimmy Butler? What do you expect him to just take over and say, you know what, this is on me, I'm going to get 25, 30 shots?
I see him uniting the youngsters.
Oh.
Every time the youngsters play and the old guys don't, the youngsters always, we always come into the next morning. This is what happens. The next morning, wow, the youngsters are really good, man. They played really good
ball.
What's
the record without Stephen Curry this year? It's positive, right? It's like, what is it, 5-2, something like that? Get on that crack, Steph. 888-957-9570.
You've been waiting to do that
for how many years? All right, crack staff. Well, in fairness,
look into the glass. Hey, guys, I need you to do something.
6-3.
6-3. There we go. Okay.
Crack, crack, crack.
So maybe they're a better team without Steph. Sounds crazy to say. They're a better team without Steph this season.
3-3, though, in the last six. They got to a 3-0 start without Steph, and then that's 500 cents.
Well, that's what they are with Steph on the court.
So if there's no Steph, there's no Dre, right? That's like an auto.
Like no Dre in the starting lineup or no Dre after like, 5 minutes when he gets
Dre
ejected?
If Dre finds out there's no Steph Curry, he's out, right?
Yeah, it's probably just a matter of when, before the game or during.
Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Alright, it's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Give our final thoughts of the show. Brought to you by Next Generation 10G Network. Only from Xfinity. The future starts meow. Joe Shasky.
My final thought is this. I just got a great text, and I want to give a shout-out because it is CYO Championship Week.
Oh.
St. Brendan's playing title game tonight, championship, 6th grade, 5 p.m., versus Town at Waldorf High School. Good seats still available on SeatGeek. That's the joke. But, yeah, shout-out St. Brendan's Bears.
Okay.
Sixth grade.
And what was the town they're playing?
They're playing Town School. Town School is a juggernaut right now.
Where is that? Town? That
town is over here near Alta Loma Plaza.
It's called Town School.
Yeah, Town School for Boys. It's been around forever.
They couldn't have come up with anything else. Town School is the name of that school.
They are a juggernaut. They have great teams and everything. We've battled them. Shout out my boy Nick Bozeman. Right now, the great hockey player plays third base on my baseball team.
Town School is like $50,000 a year to get to, probably.
They don't be putting the Stuart Hall guy talking about Town.
That's true.
Come
that's
on, true. Kettle, meat pot.
I didn't go K-8. I went to high school.
Oh, that's different.
Where
then.
Did you go K-8?
St. Vincent de Paul, CYO boy.
You're
baby.
An SVDP guy?
Yeah.
No wonder I
we
hate you.
We used to beat the living hell out of you guys.
You guys are so garbage. Shout out Mr. Waters, athletic director of all time.
Hey, man, my fifth grade teacher.
Yeah.
St. Vincent de Paul. I go there sometimes. Shout out Goodwill. It's some very similar. Lubman, what do you got?
So this is per Shana Rubin, Giants beat writer. Yes, it's a baseball final thought. Shocker. Don't be surprised to see Jung-Hoo Lee batting third in the lineup per what? Bob Melvin. Good chance we see Lamont Wade Jr. batting leadoff. What are, I'll just say this. I disagree with that lineup choice. I'll just say that.
Can I just say this?
You can say this.
If they trot
it's
out
spring training, right?
If they trot out Lamont Wade Jr. as your leadoff
he's
batter.
Not, it's not what he is.
Like, no, he's Buddy Hield of the Giants. Right now,
that's a solid comp. Actually, like it's
no, that's more disrespectful. Lamont Wade has actually had some big moments for the Giants
3 years ago.
Oh, come on, but he's done
nothing.
Lamont Wade is infinitely better.
We need to stop. We need to stop.
Last year,
how many home runs?
Yeah,
I don't know, five,
three.
That was close.
We need to stop acting like he's a premier hitter. He's a premier walker.
Exactly.
Is what he is.
He's good.
That's
you're
on base.
You're platooning it too because you're going to play Wilmer against certain. Like, what are we doing?
Like I said. I
Bryce
disagree.
Eldridge can't get here fast enough.
Well, did you hear what Buster Posey had to say about Bryce Eldridge? He's probably not going to play in the bigs this year.
Yeah,
probably
I don't
not.
Believe him.
Oh. We'll talk about Carly Price in baseball.
He's going to lie about it, I'm sure. Carter, what do you got?
Mine's simple today. Actually, two things. First of all,
you gonna bash town again? Or?
Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna bash town again. The Aaron Rodgers trade makes me feel better about the Trey Lance thing. Man, what a failure in New York. Good Lord. And second thing, I think the Warriors are going to win tonight.
I do too. I'm telling you.
Are you locking it in?
I do.
I'm locking it in.
Okay. At current spread, I see -6 still for Houston. Again, we'll see if Steph's going to play.
You hopping on this raft
play.
With us?
No, I'm hammering the Rockets. Just I want to do the spread. I just do the money line, but it's not a great value. -230 on the money line.
Are we betting a breakfast burrito?
I guess tonight, today.
Oh, that was not confident.
I guess today's payday Friday, payday Thursday for me because I get paid a little bit earlier than the rest of you. So, yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah. What's going on? You getting secret checks?
Well, now that I'm promoted to A chair, Joe Shasky, I don't know if you know this, the A chair, you get, there's some things you get that you don't get in the B chair.
The amount of
like
people,
the Joe Lacob text, what's your routing number?
Yes. It's a different Joe and Joe connection that you're not aware of. Joe squared. Actually,
dang, Joe.
I was the original Joey Lightyears. I don't know if you know this.
Oh.
And then I told Joe that he could borrow it. He has to pay.
In the words of Lightyears and Buzz and Toy Story, you got a friend in me.
This show's off the rails. That was Xfinity Fast Five, as my reads are all over the place. Brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all your devices. Starting Goo next. Have a good one, everybody. By the way, Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Loveman, you're a jerk.